Hello and welcome to Be Vigilant. I'm your host, Matt Dean. Today with me is my friend, Chris McIntosh. Today's episode is sponsored by the Thrasher family. Once again, we are so thankful that they have decided to come along with us and help support us in our journey into bringing faith, freedom, and views on family to you guys. Chris, how are you today?
Great. Thank you. Appreciate the invite.
Yeah. And I got my friend Chris here with me today because he has decided to throw his hat in the ring for Spokane County Commissioner seat four?
District four, South Valley.
Yeah. So if you're in Spokane County, you are used to the same three old Spokane County commissioners we've had. They've decided to up it to five because that's much more of a democratic process, I believe, than letting one man run the Spokane County commissioners. Spokane County, about 550,000 people, right?
Yep.
That doesn't overwhelm you, does it?
No. This whole process is a little bit overwhelming.
Yeah. No, Chris is a great guy. I've known him for about a year now. We've met at some conservative meetings. Tell everybody a little about yourself.
All right. Well, thank you. Appreciate the time here. So I'm a longtime Spokane resident. I was raised in North Idaho and then moved to small town in Chewelah, Washington, just north of Spokane. Graduated from there, went in the Air Force, and landed here in Spokane after that. Been here ever since.
Right on. Thank you for your service. What'd you do in the Air Force?
Airframe repair specialist.
Hey, that's what I did in the Navy. I was aviation structure mechanic, structures and hydraulics.
Right on. So, yeah, I love it.
Yeah, good time. I'd rather
2 years
be doing
in Okinawa, Japan.
Nice. I was in Lemoore, California. Not as nice.
Well, you know, the joke is in the military, at least in the Air Force, it takes a college degree to break them and a high school diploma to fix them.
Yep, that's what we would tell the pilots that all the time. But they got to fly the F-18s. I just got to fix them.
Yeah, I was jealous.
Yep. Right on. So then landed back in Spokane, family, right? You got some kids.
Yep. I'm a father of five kids. I have three boys and two girls.
Right. That's a whole starting basketball team, hockey team, any of the teams that take five, right?
A construction team.
Construction team. There you go. Which leads me into what you do for a living.
Well, I'm a real estate investor. Mm-hmm. And I also I help teach real estate investing and financial literacy. So nice. I work with people that are interested in getting in the game of real estate investing. But the thing that's important about that is understanding financial literacy before you actually jump into that. So I help people do that.
So true. I mean, everybody can just jump into the Bitcoin and lose all their money, right?
Yep.
It sounds good, but yeah, that's awesome that a Christian like you, right?
Absolutely.
Gave your life to Jesus and...
Yep.
If you want to brag on your church a little bit.
Sure. Yep. I attend Victory Faith in Spokane, Washington. And just a little bit about my my walk with the Lord is I was raised in a Christian home. But when I went in the military, as being raised in a Christian home, your faith a lot of times as a youth is foundational on your youth group, your pastor, your parents, the mm-hmm. church, everybody. But when you get out on your own and especially in the military, there's a lot of pressure.
Yeah.
And unfortunately, I, like a lot of people, I kind of went the way of the world for a minute there. But, God's really good. And while I was in the military, he just brought a lot of people into my life. A really cool circumstance, a friend of my dad's from Vietnam, I met in Sacramento, California, when I was stationed down there, who had become a pastor and started talking to me about getting my life back right with God, and I did, and wasn't even 21 yet. I was 20 years old, and just rededicated my life to the Lord, and
Amen.
Been serving Him ever since.
That's a great story. Here's two men that go through a horrific thing like Vietnam, and for one man to then straighten out the other man's son in his 20s while he's in the military, that's a beautiful story. I love that.
Yep. God's good. God's good.
Yeah, and I love that you're a Christian getting into politics. And, I started, before we started the show, I said, interviewing politicians, and Chris even looked a little uncomfortable. And I think a lot of us that get into politics, Becky and I ran for Millwood City Council and mayor and never wanted to call ourselves politicians because it's such an icky word anymore, right?
Right.
Well, let's Christians, let's take it back, right?
We need to. We need to stand up. We have to... We have to take this country back. The country was founded on Judeo-Christian beliefs.
Mm-hmm.
And so I think it's really sad that that Christians are sitting back and letting the world take over the United States.
Mm-hmm.
When I say the world, I mean worldly people.
Gotcha. Well, the world is trying to take over.
And yeah, for sure.
So true. But yeah, I love hearing that we need to take the United States back from Satan, basically, right?
Absolutely.
The prince of the world. He is the prince of here, but we win in the end. He knows that.
Big win yesterday.
Oh, yeah. Amen to that. Talking about the Roe v. Wade overturning. If you heard Becky and I, we got a little passionate about it yesterday's show. But, yeah, how would a county commissioner move forward, do you think, on handling Roe v. Wade? I know this might be a curveball, but...
Well, you know, the thing that's most important about running for office is you have principles. Mm-hmm. And if you have principles, that's what made our country so great, is our founding fathers had principles that they lived by. And all your decisions are, if they go through the filter of being principled, which those principles come from being a godly man, from the Bible, from just understanding, you know, what God's plan is for our life, then all your decisions are, you can't go wrong. You mm-hmm. can't go wrong with the decisions you make. So when it comes to Roe v. Wade, I mean, I don't know what role I would play, but I definitely would use that influence, that position to support the unborn,
Amen.
To support life.
So if you're out there, Christian, and you hear that, you got to vote for Chris.
Absolutely.
He wants to support the unborn. So let's get into your platform a little bit. Tell me this, you know, like I said, we've known each other for about a year. When did you decide, you know, I got a text from you one night mm-hmm. and said, yeah, I'm announcing tomorrow. And I thought, right on, because this county needs more good men like you to stand up. How did that come about?
Well, I knew I needed to get involved in some way. I couldn't just sit back and let my kids say, Dad, you know, you're listening to all these things about what's going on in our country, and you're informing us and you're helping us make the right choices and become principled themselves. But I couldn't sit back and you know, 10, 15 years from now, go, what did I do? Mm-hmm. Did I do anything? Did I step up to the plate and do everything I possibly could to make a change? And so about a year ago, city council came around, and I thought, well, maybe I'll just run for city council. But then I realized you got to live in the city to run for city council.
Mm-hmm.
I just wanted to step up and play a role in wherever, you know, God would have me. And you know, living in the Spokane Valley and in the county commissioner came available, that position, and started hearing some of the things about some issues that people have with the county and mm-hmm. and just some things that we could possibly do to help. And I said, okay, that's what I'm going to do. So I prayed about it. I fasted. I was like, God, is this really what you want me to do? I had to cut my hair and shave my beard.
Yeah, you did. I didn't even recognize you.
Yeah. And, you know, I finally just got the peace that says, do this. This is what, and whether I win or lose, it's in God's hands.
Amen.
That's the most important thing. It's in God's hands. And I just believe that godly men and women just need to stand up for righteousness and for principles and for truth and for freedom.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
That's important.
That's so true, because the, like you said, the Constitution was written by men of Judeo-Christian beliefs. And the first belief was freedom. And that's where it gets skewed. And maybe I'll get on a soapbox for a minute here. But people talk about freedom of religion, you know. And that's fair. It's fair enough. The country is freedom of religion. You want to be Muslim, that's fine. But I'm going to find a group of people that are going to come and share the gospel with you. I don't want you to come in here and start jihad in my country. I'm right. sorry to say. We need to peacefully get along.
Absolutely.
God wins in the end, like we just said. And it's so awesome to hear godly men saying they'll throw their hat in the ring. You know, it's not a cheap thing. So I'm going to ask later on the show, we'll give some ways for people to support you. But what are you running on? What are your three top hitters, if you will?
So my top priority is, man, all three of them are equally important, but homelessness is a huge issue
in
Spokane County. It's really a blight. There's no reason that we should be driving down the road and see what we're seeing.
Mm-hmm.
And as a county commissioner, we have oversight over the county. And whether we can directly influence that or use our influence to influence other positions, other areas in the county, it has to change. You know, and so I have a plan. There's three areas of homelessness that need to be addressed. The first area is those that find themselves homeless through no fault of their own, and that would be death, disability, divorce, maybe those that have aged out of the foster care system and they don't have any place to go, and so they just live on the streets. And so those are individuals that want to out of that system. They want help. And unfortunately, the system right now is more of a safety net, which encapsulates them. If you ever look at a fish in a net, it doesn't help them. It just captures them. And that's what our system is right now. It captures people into the system, and it doesn't help them out of the system. Yep. We need a ladder up. And that's done through education. It's done through giving them hope and knowing that there's a better way out. My mom is a great example. She, after 20-some years of marriage, my dad left her, unfortunately, and she barely even had a high school education, you know, raising six kids. I'm the oldest of six kids. And I seen, it was very, very challenging for mom in that situation with no education and having kids. And it was the system that helped her. She went to college, you know, got an associate's degree. Now she owns a couple properties, and it was because she applied herself and she had hope, and the system helped her in that situation. But unfortunately, right now, a lot of people in the homeless community are enabled instead of being helped. The second area is those that are homeless because of addiction. And with addiction comes mental illness, and also with the homeless and addiction comes the rampant crime. So those individuals, they need help as well, but they need help in another way. They need help that's going to help them out of that situation. And it also comes back to hope, giving them hope that there is something better and more to life than drugs and alcohol and whatever the addiction is. Amen. All they're doing is just trying to cover up the pain and hurt that's in their life. And that's what, you know, the addictions do. And so we got to help them understand that there's, you know, the American dream is alive and well. I don't have a college degree, yet I own a lot of real estate, and because I have hope, I applied myself, and I wanted something different in my life than, you know, what I grew up with. Not that I didn't grow up with anything bad, my dad was in the timber industry, he was a logger, and being the oldest of six kids, having six kids, we didn't have a lot of money. But what my dad did instill in me is hard work. And he said, I remember when I was going in the, I was like, I think I want to go in the military. He says, you know, go in the Air Force. Don't go in the Army like I did, because all I learned how to do is be a mercenary. If you go in the Air Force, you're going to learn how to do something when you get out that you can apply to your life. And even though I didn't apply I did for a little bit, sheet metal when I got out. But what I got from that was education and learning how to do something different. And I'm not talking about traditional college education, which there's nothing wrong with that, but the trades and different areas in our society that you can do so well financially that that people don't realize that, you know, because of just how our society is kind of real looked down on, you know, middle income, the middle class. But going back to the homeless, we need to give them that hope that there's something more than just you know, the drugs and alcohol, that they can live the American dream of home ownership. You absolutely can. I mean, I own a lot of properties, and I did it because I educated myself and I trained my mind how to think critically. The third area of and that area, if they choose not to get help, then they need to be held accountable for their actions. They can't be living on the back of the taxpayer dollars, which brings us to the third area of homelessness and those that just choose to be homeless because they just want to be homeless. They don't want responsibility. And if that's the case, then that can't be done on the back of the taxpayers. So my so that's the one of the areas that I'm very concerned about. Another area is taxes, being an investor and a property owner. Property taxes, and especially in this inflationary environment, property taxes and any taxes right now, we have to say no to. I mean,
We
have to give people a break.
And if people live in Spokane County, they just got their home value assessment. And we talked about, I don't know if I told you, ours went up $100,000.
Yeah.
And so I don't know what my property tax is going to look like now, but this gives us a decision. Do we sell and go somewhere else? And it's just crazy that, and the county assessor, was it Michael Baumgartner, I think, says that he doesn't know why it's that high. Well, I'd like my county assessor, the elected official that's oversees that, to know why. So as a county commissioner, how would you address that?
Well, we, as a county commissioner, we have oversight over the budget, over the county budget. And so we have the ability, if we have a surplus, you know, we have the ability to say no to taxes and say, no, we don't need to raise taxes and we don't need to put any more burden on the citizens. Mm-hmm. Also, with the budget, making sure the budget is used appropriately. Don't take a fund that's used for, like, roads, for example, and use it for something else that it shouldn't be used for.
So you're saying are they doing that right now? Because these roads are horrible. I've lived all up and down the West Coast. I don't know if Spokane might have the worst roads I've been to.
Well, we need to spend money on the roads and not on butterflies and rainbows.
Yeah, there you go. Yeah, hot button topic there. I don't know, Becky and I covered that one, but yeah. And that's,
that doesn't get me in trouble.
Yeah, that's Spokane City themselves. And hey, if you're a voter in Spokane City and you don't want a rainbow crosswalk, tell your city council. A lot of them are socialist anyways, but tell the ones that will listen.
Well, and that brings me to the third area. Is your voice, and your voice is heard through the election process. And unfortunately, a lot of Washington residents, especially, you know, Spokane residents, don't have a lot of faith and confidence in the election process. And so I want to bring election integrity and transparency to the to Spokane County. It's paramount that, that the citizens of Spokane know that when their vote is cast, that it is counted appropriately, that there aren't any other votes being cast that are counted that shouldn't be counted. And I'm not saying there are any shenanigans. I'm not, you know, throwing any blame out there on anybody or making any accusations.
Mm-hmm. Oh, yeah, for sure.
It's just that if there's no transparency, then there's a lot of question marks. What's the perfect crime?
Yeah, one that nobody knows.
The one that nobody knows about, exactly. Mm-hmm. And if there's transparency, then that will be exposed, and you can't have the perfect crime. And there's just a lot of uncertainty and questions in our election process. Mm-hmm. And so that's that needs to be addressed, and I will address that.
Right on. That's transparency is, if you, you know, politicians like to throw the word around, but really, if you're using the word of God as your guide, the transparent part should be easy. Yep. And I'm excited. You know, we were at a meeting the other night, and we have Bob McCaslin running for
county auditor.
County auditor. Mm-hmm. Vicki Dalton. It's time for you to go.
She's got
to
go.
What did Mark Twain say? Politicians and babies' diapers, they all need to be changed,
yeah,
right?
Yeah.
Bob McCaslin, he's got a heart for this community. He's an educator. And we'll get him on the show, and he can tell you more about what his plans are. But the first word out of his mouth is transparency every time. He doesn't care if it's good, bad, or indifferent. He just wants the people of his hometown here that he's been representing over in Olympia for a while now to know everything's fair and on the up and up.
Yep.
And I'm so glad to hear you saying that, too.
I've gotten a chance to know Bob McCaslin over the last couple months very well, and he's the man for the job.
Oh, yeah.
And you know what they say about change. The only person who likes change is a baby with a wet diaper.
There you go. So once again, we're bringing up baby diapers. Right on. It's thinking about that, the homelessness and the addiction, and, you know, people talk about this Camp Hope and getting rid of it. That is in city property, but what I hear Mayor Nadine talking about is just continuing to home these homeless people that don't want a home, like you said. It's time for accountability, right?
Absolutely. There has to be accountability, and it has to be done through working with investors like myself. I'm a property owner. I have homes available, but I'm not going to rent to somebody that isn't going to accept responsibility for their own actions. Mm-hmm. I mean, there's a lot of good individuals like myself that own property that want to help, but we have to hold the individuals accountable. They have to be held accountable for their actions, and if they're not held accountable for their actions, we need to work with the sheriff's department and house them in other ways.
Mm-hmm. Sheriff's department, yeah. We're going to get a new sheriff this year. Mm-hmm. I don't know if you've had a chance to talk to any of the guys running for sheriff. And
I have, yep. I've talked to John Knowles and Wade Nelson.
Okay.
And the jury's still out on that one. I'm kind of back and forth between the two. I'm not sure.
Yeah. I mean, to me, the sheriff, I think we've seen since 2020, the sheriff is a key role. Mm-hmm. And I would have liked to see Spokane County Sheriff do a little more. He didn't come and enforce anything. I like that. But I would like to see the new sheriff, because it's going to come again. The federal government's going to overstep. King Inslee isn't going anywhere. And to me, you know, I reached out to the county commissioners and I heard back from one. Mm-hmm. I really thought the county commissioners could have done a lot more through 2020.
Yeah.
You know, our friend, good friend and business owner, the Fentons over there at Black Diamond, they just got lambasted and beat up.
Yep.
So
same with Brent over. What was his business?
Cole's Coffee. Yeah. That was our hangout. That was our clubhouse, and then our meeting spot was the Black Diamond. I guess I'm going to out us mm-hmm. Christian patriots that we decided to continue to patronize these places, right? And so, as county commissioner,
and that's sad that you have to say outed in a free country, right?
Yeah,
and we're a free country, and they lock us down, and that's the first step to tyranny.
Yep. And we said, no, you will not lock us down.
Lock us down.
No, you won't put a muzzle on our face. And
as county commissioner, I'm going to say, I agree with you.
Yeah, that's a big thing. County commissioners, I wish they would have done more. How would you have handled it if Inslee? To me, I thought county commissioners had the overall say in the county. Am I wrong?
Well, we have to work with the sheriff's department as mm-hmm. well. So it is important. We have a constitutional sheriff
yep.
in the office. And so when you're talking to the candidates for sheriff, you need to make sure that they are constitutional. But how I would handle it is I would say, no, it's not a mandate is not a law.
Perfect. Okay?
And if it's a mandate and it's violating our constitution, I'm not going to agree to that. Just like if you mandate me to, they mandated us to not worship on Sunday or go to church.
Crazy.
You know, I'm sorry. You know, my personal conviction and belief is that I'm going to worship God any day of the week that I choose to, and if I choose to worship Him on Sunday, that's what I'm going to do.
Mm-hmm.
And they can't mandate that. And that's where Christians need to stand up and realize that yes, we do have government that is there, but it's government is not to control the people. The people should control the government.
Amen to that.
And as believers, if the government is trying to mandate us to do something that's against our biblical beliefs and against our faith, we have to stand up and say, no, we're not going to do that. And there's nothing unchristian about doing that.
No, it's actually Christians. We're to fight tyranny. And it's my belief that God gave us our Constitution, our Bill of Rights to further the Word of God.
Yep.
And if, you know, I heard a lot of Christians say, well, we got to follow all the rules. No. What if those midwives had followed the rules to kill all the babies?
Right.
They said no. And so when it goes against God's word, and if God gave us a constitution, to me it all becomes cyclic there, right? He'd tell us not to worship. No. I'm going to worship 7 days a week now.
Absolutely.
Know? And I wish more Christians would have got on fire for that. So we got about 4 minutes left. Any other key points you want to hit on your campaign here?
Well, we just need somebody in office that has a backbone, that's not afraid to stand for righteousness, stand up for all the people in Spokane County.
Mm-hmm.
I am a business owner as well, so you know there's the incumbent Mary Cooney. You know, they look at her and they go, "Well, she's a CPA, and you know she might be good for the job because she understands finances."
Mm-hmm.
You know, CPAs. They do. They're kind of like bean counters.
Oh, yeah.
I don't want to like.
There's a lot of schooling, a lot of testing. Yep, yep. CPAs are good for something.
They're very good for something. However, they're not good. Well, let me put it this way. You have kids, right? Mm-hmm. How many? Did you know that you could have your kids work and not have to pay taxes on the money that you pay them? You could pay them $12,700 and not have to pay taxes on that.
I did not know that.
You didn't know that. CPAs know that.
Yeah.
Now, I've talked to a lot of CPAs. They know that. But how many tax returns do they actually file where they're educating their clients that their clients could not have to pay taxes if they, now, and of course you have to have a job and there's a certain way you got to do it
mm-hmm.
and make sure you're not getting in trouble with the IRS. But can you imagine, how many kids do you have?
Two.
Two kids. Okay. So $24,000 potentially, mm-hmm. over $24,000 you can earn and not pay taxes on that. How much would that help you?
Oh, yeah. Tremendously.
Okay, it's things like that. And that's just a small example. But that's the things, the critical thinking that I want to bring to the office to help the citizens. Critically thinking on how we can save money, how we can be better managers of the resources that come into Spokane County.
Right on. Yeah, and you said Mary Cooney, she's been there for a little while. She won her election a couple years ago.
She was appointed by Governor Inslee.
Oh,
originally.
Appointed by Governor Inslee, mm-hmm. And we reelected her. My heart hurts. Anybody that's appointed by that dummy, and I've said it before and I'll say it again, he's a dummy. I've met people that have met him, and he's not a smart man if you talk to him.
Well, in all fairness, he had to appoint her because there was a dispute with the county commissioners. The PCOs voted in Rob. They wanted to Rob Chase to be county commissioner.
Heck yeah.
And then, but the county commissioners, which was Al French your county commissioner, Josh Kearns. Josh Kearns, thank you. They disagreed on who should be voted in, and because they couldn't come to agreement, it went to Inslee, who was the governor at the time.
Okay.
So, I mean, in fairness, it wasn't like Governor Inslee just tracked her down and appointed her.
Yeah.
You know, I don't want to make it like that, but still.
Well, Inslee, now you got Rob Chase and Olympia putting a thorn in your side.
Yeah.
So, right on. Chris, thanks for being here. You're running for County Commissioner, District 4, seat 4.
Yep, vote for Chris. My website is vote, number 4, chrism.com.
Right on. Vote for chrism.com. Give him some money. These campaigns are not cheap.
Very expensive. I appreciate all the support and help I can get.
Hey, and Christians, let's pray for him. Until next time, be sober, be vigilant.